It's a month now since the Morrison government announced free childcare for more than 1 million families in a bid to keep more than 13,000 childcare services centres across Australia open during this pandemic. The Federal Education Minister, Dan Tehan, says the $1.3 billion funding boost over the next 3 months is already reaping dividends.
The success of what we've done with childcare, and it points to the success we can have with schools, is what we did was we changed the policy to make sure they stayed open and to encourage parents to use them, because that was the medical expert panel's advice, that childcare was safe for students and for the educators. So it's fantastic outcome that we're actually seeing now demand come back to the childcare system.
That's the Federal Education Minister Dan Tehan on Insiders on Sunday. Well, the Minister's pledged a review of the childcare support package, but Jay Weatherill, former South Australian Labor Premier, says deeper reforms are needed to fix what a system he says is fundamentally broken. Now is the time, he says, for the states and territories to take control of childcare and to treat it more like schools. Jay Weatherill is making the call in his new role as Chief Executive of Thrive by Five, which is part of mining magnate Andrew Forrest and his wife Nicola's philanthropic Mindaroo Foundation. Jay Weatherill joins us from Perth, where he now lives. Jay Weatherill, welcome back to Breakfast.
Thank you, Fran. Thanks for having me.
So your point is that the childcare system was already in poor health before the virus struck, and this $1.3 billion, which is a lot of money, is only really keeping the system on life support. What's wrong with it? What's your view of what's wrong with it?
Well, 20% of centres don't meet national quality standards. We've got childcare fees that are rising faster than electricity and private healthcare insurance. And it's locking many people out. And we've got many childcare workers on low wages and casual work. And, you know, this is the second time in a decade where we've had the system almost collapse. Remember, we had ABC Learning back about a decade ago that had to be bailed out. So this is a system, when we didn't have this with our education, our school-based system, that remains secure, and the employment there remains secure. Yet, arguably, an even more important sector, that first 5 years of life, where we know that 90% of a child's brain develops, we're seeing this incredibly insecure and low-quality sector, which is threatening the development of our children. So, really, COVID has revealed an underlying crisis in the child care sector.
And why do you think it is that we, as you point out, don't have a crisis in the school sector, but we do have it in the early childhood sector? What do you think is the heart of that?
Well, it's a mess. I mean, you've got, in terms of
arrangements... No, but why is it a mess? Why?
Well, Commonwealth-state arrangements. You've got the states are involved at the birth of the child, and then after that you have the Commonwealth comes back in with childcare, which is not really a system of early childhood development. It's really more a system of employment policy, where if you even look at the language that's been used by the federal government, it's very much about getting parents back to work rather than the development of children. And then, of course, you get the states come back in at four-year-old or three-year-old, depending on what arrangements exist in the state. So it's a hodgepodge of arrangements between the state and the Commonwealth. The childcare centres are not funded like schools are on the basis of enrolments. They're funded on the basis of attendance. So it is a mess and it needs to be addressed, and there is a fantastic opportunity here because the federal government has established an important principle of free universal access to early learning, but it hasn't solved all of the problems, and I think we should grasp the opportunity that exists at the moment to have a proper system.
But as you say, that free universal access to childcare, that's really based in terms of employment policy, not education policy. Mm. So, you know, it's a complete reorientation of government thinking, let alone letting the states take over control of childcare. I mean, that's a massive policy shift and funding shift, isn't it?
Well, it will make such a difference because we know that those first 5 years of life set the learning, health and behaviour trajectory of a child through the whole of their life. So if you're serious about wanting to lift the wellbeing and capability of every child, if you want your child to be the very best that they can be, then you need to concentrate on these first 5 years, and we need to have not second-class arrangements, but the very best arrangements for our youngest children. And I think that there's an emerging idea that these 5 years, I mean, so much discussion, Fran, is about what happens in school. Yet the truth is that what actually occurs before those children walk through the school gate is going to very much establish their trajectory through the whole of their schooling. So if you want to fix your schooling system, if you're worried about results, and I know that the nation is worried about us slipping down the scale in our international rankings, then the single best thing you can do is to invest in the first 5 years of life.
At the moment, I think it's half the childcare centres in this country are private, run privately. They're run by the corporate organisations, many of them. You're critical of that. Why?
Well, that's money that could be invested in the system. I mean, we imagine a system that integrates our healthcare system, our system of family support, our early learning system, our child protection system. All of those things need to be integrated into places, ideally attached to schools. And we've got some fantastic examples of this around the nation. There are schools in Victoria, Doveton School. There's schools in Western Australia, Chalice School, which bring all of these services together and ensure that children and families are supported in those first 5 years. And the results are fantastic. But it's very difficult to imagine a system where you've got the private for-profit sector sitting in the middle of that. This really requires us to organise and connect a whole range of services together to wrap around families to make sure they get the best possible support they can get.
Some of the childcare centres are struggling at the moment. Despite that injection of funds from the federal government, it's still not been enough to support some, and some have closed their doors, and it's causing all sorts of problems. How do you think the sector's going to look after this pandemic is over?
Well, a number of them won't make it, but what we're suggesting is, rather than just going back to business as usual, where we have essentially a large number, one in five centres not meeting national standards, where we have many parents that are locked out because the childcare fees are just so high. I mean, we saw recently an analysis that said that it's more expensive to send your kids to childcare than it is to send them to private school. I mean, that's just going to be prohibitive for many families. And that's just looking at it through the lens of employment policy. What about the opportunities for the healthy development of your child, which should be the focus of our system? So we think that the future involves the National Cabinet using the important opportunity that's presented to us to actually design a first-class system of early childhood development for every child. And this is the big productivity agenda for the nation, Fran. I mean, if you want to lift the general level of productivity of our nation, then you need to invest in the capability of our citizens. And the best way you can do that is to invest in the first 5 years of life.
Just finally, Jay Weatherill, can I ask you, you mentioned the National Cabinet there. You were Labor Premier of South Australia for nearly 7 years until you lost that election in 2018. Looking on how the states and the federal government are handling this pandemic through that National Cabinet mechanism, how do you rate that response, and do you suggest that National Cabinet should be ongoing?
Look, the Australian government's responses, all of them, has been remarkably successful. I mean, I think every government in this nation deserves our credit. And I think one of the examples of that is that the leadership they've shown in creating this new institution, the National Cabinet. I mean, it's achieved more in the last few months than many COACs have achieved over many years. I mean, if we'd had this arrangement in place when I was in play there, I'm sure we would have knocked over many more issues. And so I think it should continue. I think it's a fantastic innovation. I think we could solve. I mean, we're going to begin to look at the future. Obviously, we're in the crisis phase and we're emerging from that. But as we rebuild, that the National Cabinet would be a fantastic way to actually accelerate that rebuilding. And I would argue that rebuilding begins with our children.
Jay Weatherill, thank you very much for joining us.
Cheers. Thanks, Fran.
Jay Weatherill is a former Premier of South Australia and now CEO of the Mindaroo Foundation's Thrive by Five early childhood development program.